This football season, from the office to happy hour, every Friday is Fan Friday. Visit Dick's Sporting Goods for the largest selection of authentic Reebok NFL apparel. And wear your team out. Every season starts at Dick's.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbontoni. A new survey says the Steelers have by far the biggest female fan base.
And Tony Kornheiser, well, them Steely McBeam, and their quarterback has to be named Big Ben for a reason, don't you think?
Why can't they just like football? I mean, why you gotta drag the whole show into the toilet right off the bat, right at the top?
We usually swim in the tank for most of the show. Well, why not start at the beginning is my position. Yeah, I wear a bathing suit. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Bill Belichick awaits Roger Goodell's decision. The Chargers are getting awfully mouthy, and we have a good old-fashioned mascot beatdown.
Yeah.
But we begin today with stunning news about number one NBA draft pick Greg Oden. The exploratory arthroscopic surgery he had on his right knee led to something worse. Microfracture surgery today.
Ugh.
Oden will be on crutches for 8 weeks, and he is expected to miss the entire season. Will Bond, is this Bill Walton all over again for the Portland Trailblazers?
Oh, Tony, I hope not. And just my reaction when I heard this is just a downer. Just a downer. You know it's a downer for the Portland Trailblazers because they are so excited that they got this player who looks like the once every generation player, like, you know, Shaq's getting old, he's gonna move aside fairly soon in a few years, and then you get the next great big player who can transform you, and now you're not gonna see him in his very first season. I don't know if it's Bill Walton. I hope not, and I think not, because this particular surgery, microfracture, was sort of a kiss of death early on. Penny Hardaway took years and still hadn't gotten over it, but now people have gotten through it, like Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah, there is that bright side as you look at the successful surgical procedures. This kid hurt his wrist before he ever played at Ohio State.
High school.
Now, before he has ever played in the pros, he has this terrible knee thing. What if he's just one of those unlucky guys? What if he's just injury prone?
It could happen.
What if his body is such that it doesn't come all the way back?
You know what? You think about Bill Walton, and Bill Walton got to the Trailblazers.
Walton won a championship.
And he got there like 1974. It's a long time ago. 10 years later, Sam Bowie. This is not Portland's. Just not just their second time with this. Sam Bowie, who was thought to be a great player.
Well,
so great.
But
they thought he was good enough. They took him ahead of Michael Jordan.
But he had bad legs in college.
He did have bad legs in college. But, Tony, again, this surgical procedure is such now. Jason Kidd, older player. Amari Stoudemire, younger player, was able to recuperate. And this is still a fairly new surgery.
We wish it to him.
Let me give you what I think is the
bright side. Okay?
What?
And this is going to fly in the face of something you've talked about a lot, about
what's
how
that?
Kids have to stay in school. If this kid had not gone to the pros, he'd have a bad leg and no money. Now, at least
yep.
he has signed that contract.
Yes, he has.
At least he has realized something out of what he gave to basketball.
He has realized something. I'm glad he signed the contract. Glad they didn't find this out 3 months ago, even after they drafted him.
But it's terrible for the Portland team.
It is.
And it's terrible for the NBA.
It is. It's
because,
a buzzkill.
Him,
we were all looking forward to seeing this kid play.
Look, where I live, I wish this kid and Durant had played in the East, okay? Because that's a long way out there for me. But he and Durant could have come in as Magic and Bird on some level. And this hurts.
Now it's delayed at best. Delayed.
Okay.
We'll move to the NFL and its bad news now. It's widely expected the league may come down on the New England Patriots as soon as tomorrow. But in the meantime, the Patriots are being ripped in most NFL circles, particularly among players. Bengals quarterback Carson Palmer said, quote, "I hope the commissioner is as harsh on them as he's been on individual players," close quote. The Steelers, Hines Ward, said the NFL penalty should be, quote, "stiff enough that no one else will try it," close quote. Tony, do you think Roger Goodell will actually take into account widespread player criticism of the Patriots?
Let's understand two things about player criticism. One, anything that hurts New England helps them, because New England is a terrific team. And two, they're tired of seeing Roger Goodell boot them out of the league, and so they want to make sure he does something harsh and stiff to management in this case. I think this has created a perfect storm.
How so?
Against the Patriots. I think, I told you this yesterday, I think they will get punished beyond what they should because you have the unrest among the players and you have the Patriots as a symbol of sort of smug, arrogant team that wins all the time. And I think Goodell will play into that. And I think...
I think it'll be harsher. You know what? If he's looking for some downwind, he's got it. I mean,
that's right.
You go to older players, veteran players. Brett Favre seemed to choose his words very carefully when he said, look, I don't know how much of an advantage this is, but it's an advantage. I don't know that I can look over and take into account signals and what somebody's trying to tell me, but it's an advantage to know. And I just thought that Brett Favre set the right tone, and I believe
but
what
even
he felt.
If, even if a few players out there or a few coaches out there will say the following, this is nothing. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. They won't be heard because it's all ginned up now. It's all ginned up, and it is going to come down on – it will not surprise me if coaches are suspended, teams are fined, and draft choices are taken.
Ooh,
that
all
will
of it.
Not surprise me.
All of it.
And I wouldn't do that. But it won't surprise me. Some dope writing in Miami today said that if you're furious at Barry Bonds for cheating with steroids, you have to be just as furious at Bill Belichick for cheating with videotape. That dope, of course, was our good friend Dan Le Batard in the Miami Herald.
Bam!
Wilbon, do you equate Bill Belichick with Barry Bonds?
You know what? I talked to Le Batard. We text messaged each other when he was writing this yesterday. And at first I disagreed with him. And I said no, because one thing is illegal and the other thing is only unethical. Now, you can have... And all crimes are not the same in my book.
Right.
But you know what? I read Le Batard's column, and he has convinced me this. But they're both cheaters. If you believe that Barry Bonds is a cheater, whatever circumstantial evidence there is, there's enough circumstantial evidence, more than that, because Belichick's admitted to something, that you can believe he's a cheater. And so they at least share that if you want to be really cynical.
Well,
about it.
I mean, Bonds has been proven guilty of nothing, and Bonds has admitted nothing, and Belichick appears to admit some sort of videotape malfeasance, you know, that is not strictly defined. Here's where I think it breaks down. When you take steroids, you work to get bigger, faster, and stronger. You have a direct impact on the game yourself. You are beyond the other players. In this sort of cheating that the Patriots did, if I understand it correctly, you still have to affect the knowledge on the field.
Yeah.
You still have to execute it. To me, it's not the same. Jason Taylor says it's nothing the same. It's apples and oranges.
I would say those are both fruits.
But what he says about the Patriots cheating is it's not even close to performance.
It's interesting. And Jason Taylor is a really smart guy, and his statement was very well thought out also. But you know what, Tony? There's some thread there, it seems to me, on the heels of the San Diego Chargers taking a shot at Bears quarterback Rex Grossman. We now have Chargers linebacker Sean Phillips calling the Bears running back Cedric Benson soft, saying that opponents can take him out of his game and, quote, that's going to haunt him until he can prove it's not true, close quote. Now, this group of Chargers players is often talking and criticizing other teams and other players, which comes as a little bit of surprise considering this group of Chargers players has had two home playoff games the last 3 years and lost them both, Tony. Should the Chargers keep yapping or shut their mouths?
See, now I think a lot of that is going to depend on how they do against New England. Because if they open up the season beating the Bears and beating the Patriots,
they can keep talking
forever, because that is a great start
to the season. Yes, it's the best possible start.
But I would come back to how many playoff games they've won recently, which I believe is zero. When was the last time
they won a playoff game? The franchise hasn't won since they got to the Super Bowl, so the AFC title game with Bobby Ross.
See, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And LaDainian Tomlinson, you can add him to this list. Not only have they called Rex Grossman a mental midget and said Cedric Benson is soft.
LaDainian didn't do that.
No, but what LaDainian Thompson has done is laughed in the face of
Tomlinson,
the Patriots.
And he was right. By the way, I'm accepting LT from all this. You know why? Because he came out days ago and said, it looks like their motto is, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And he looks okay.
Okay, but let me ask you this.
His came out pretty good.
What is Sean Merriman's motto then?
I don't know.
Well, did he cheat?
Yes.
Was he tossed for cheating? Well, what would be
looks like if he's not cheating, he's not trying either.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to accept LT from that.
If they beat the Bears and the Patriots.
Keep yapping?
Well, absolutely. We have no idea how much money, if any money, the New England Patriots will be fined for Patriot Gate. But listen to this. In Formula One racing, the McLaren team was fined for spying on and obtaining secret technical documents belonging to their rival Ferrari. The fine, $100 million. Well, Von, that is Dr. Evil money, isn't it?
You can't even conceive of that much money.
No, I can't.
I mean, you know.
You don't even make that much
money. That is David Beckham money. That's half a season of David Beckham.
Of course it is.
Beyond David Beckham. It's. I tell you what, that is serious stuff going on out there. You and I are not exactly Formula One followers, but this is being taken so seriously.
Well, they caught this guy with a 700-page dossier on all the specs on the Ferrari cars.
Sounds like an NFL offensive playbook.
Here's what interests me about this. When we talked about the Patriots the other day, I believe I said to you, it's pointless to fine the Patriots money because they'll just pass along ticket prices.
You did.
And I said to you,
rich people can be hurt in the wallet, and you passed it off
because
$100 million.
Let me get to what I'm saying.
All right.
because I never thought it would be more than a million. If you tell me a million.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
If the Mr. Roger Goodell flexes and said he's going to fine the Patriots $25 million, what do you think
it
was it going to hurt?
Yes, I wouldn't have believed that would be possible.
Ouch.
We're taking a break, but coming up, Lou Piniella says the worm turned last night. Will the Cubs suddenly start rolling? And later, the Oregon Duck gets suspended for beating down another mascot.
Man.
Justice?
Man.
Look at that!
Brief interruption presented by Guinness Draft Stout. Drink responsibly and in part by A1, A1 and Steak, game day's most important matchup, and by NikeFootball.com. Leave nothing.
Welcome back to the PTI program, where we don't need no stinking guests. More headlines. Lou Piniella thinks the Cubs are on their way. Diehard fans like Wilbon feared the worst last night when a routine ninth-inning grounder bounded off first base for a hit, leading to an Astros run that trimmed the Cubs' lead to one. But a tough double play got Chicago out of the jam and ended the game. Sweet Lou called the win, quote, special.
3-6-1.
Said, quote, the worm has turned. Said things are starting to go the Cubs' way and that the win should get the Cubs on a roll. Wilbon, isn't Lou spitting in the face of 98 years of curses and stinkage?
No. And even if he is, then now's the time. Because I watched that game live last night. I need the highlights, okay? And when the ball goes off first base, I'm like, this is my life. This is my whole life watching this team. The stupid first out is gone, and now they're going to win the game. Except when that double play ground ball was there, and Derek Lee looks at home and says no, and finishes the game with that double play, I pulled my back out, jumping off the sofa to start screaming. And
can I ask
Lou,
you a question?
Lou was great. Lou was you can't see what Lou was saying about the curse.
I don't have a turban on, but this sounds like it's franchise altering to you.
What? Oh, it is. It's the most important.
Is Bartman
dead? It is the most important game victory for the Cubs since Bartman.
Is Bartman dead? Is Bartman dead?
We'll see tonight.
Because the Cubs,
but I got him being, you know what, there's a stake in him and he's writhing, all right?
Because the last time I looked at the standings, the Cubs were a mighty 74
and
71.
I don't care. They're tied for first place in the division. And you didn't mind when
are
the
you
Cardinals,
predicting,
your Cardinals
are
last
you
year,
predicting
which were putrid, they won the World Series.
World Series appearance.
I'm not predicting anything.
Franchise
it's
offer.
The most important victory since Bartman. That's what I'm telling you.
Bartman
at least somebody
victory.
Cares about the Cubs. Nobody cares about the Florida Marlins. All right, it's a slight exaggeration. 375 people cared enough to show up for yesterday's game against the Nationals
that.
And Dolphins
Nobody
Stadium,
there.
Leaving, about 60,000 empty seats. Attendance for the three-game series was announced at 10,000 per game, but our newspaper, The Washington Post, estimated about 3,000 spectators for the whole series were on hand. None. Tony? Tell me why there should be a team in South Florida.
Pay very close attention to what I'm going to say because
what?
You have relatives in South Florida and so should
I. My mother,
what?
Yes.
There should be no team in South Florida. There should be no team in West Florida. Florida should not have baseball teams. This franchise
right.
won two World Series and nobody
People
came to
go.
See them then.
Don't go.
Okay, a few years back when they talked about contraction, they were going to contract the Twins. No.
Contract
you contract
team.
Both Florida teams because
you know,
nobody
it's just,
goes.
You know, Tony.
It's hot. It's
but
raining.
But there are more factors.
Doesn't work.
There are more factors. It doesn't work in terms of people going.
They won't go.
I think there's
fixed
probably
income.
Fixed income. There are multiple cultures in Florida in which people do not necessarily stake money down at the beginning of the year for season tickets or years in advance.
And
in
they're
these
playing
things.
In a
and
football.
They don't,
one's playing in a football stadium.
I don't care if it was a baseball stadium, Tony. If it was a baseball stadium, they wouldn't come, and they've won two World Series.
So are you agreeing with me?
Contract them now.
It's hard to get you to actually say I agree with you.
I agree.
Joe
with you.
Torre is
that?
Upset with the Toronto Blue Jays for throwing at a video game version of Alex Rodriguez. Torre's ire was inspired by a video game promotion that ran on the Blue Jays Jumbotron that showed a virtual Alex Rodriguez getting brushed back and then drilled. Torre said, quote, it's ridiculous. You're telling the youngsters it's okay to do it, and that's not a good message to send, unquote. Wilbon, were the Blue Jays out of line in throwing virtual baseballs at an avatar of Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, there's no question in my mind they were out of line. And it's just wrong to contribute to the culture of violence in sports the way that does in so many of these video games. Having said that, I get a little tired of Joe Torre, who's a great, great, great manager, because he's so hypocritical. I mean, you don't hear Joe Torre, if anybody suggests that Roger Clemens been pitching for him in the playoffs, when he threw a shard of a bat at Mike Piazza. When people asked, reporters asked him after that game, he got so upset. How dare you ask the question? He and Tony La Russa, two great Hall of Fame managers, it's always, my guys always do the right thing. Your people are wrong. I get a little sick of that.
I would point out that this was a virtual Alex Rodriguez. It wasn't the real Alex Rodriguez since the video game.
And if you hang somebody in effigy, you're not really hanging them.
They don't
like
him in Toronto because he scared the infielder and he dropped the ball and so on and so forth. But if Alex Rodriguez played for Toronto, they would carry him through the streets.
Are you defending the video game being up there?
There are much, much worse things on video games than this.
That is so easy a way out. That is so easy a way out.
Coming up, the number one team in the nation heads to Husker Country. What are the chances Nebraska upsets USC?
Defending the video game.
I'm not defending it. I'm saying, again, it's like it's soup. You know what I mean? It's not real. It's like
nonsense. Like apples and oranges?
No, because those are both fruits. It's just, it's not a real thing. Time for the game that reality will undoubtedly hand to Wilbon, because for some reason, he seems to have it in for me these days. Oddsmakers. Here's the little gnat himself.
He's making excuses.
Anthony Joseph Benedict Arnold Reality.
Whining in advance.
That's great.
That's a
great
new one.
Name calling will get you nowhere, Tony. First, the chances the Chargers beat the Patriots this weekend.
I don't know about this. Because of all the stuff that's swirling around with the Patriots, I don't know if that helps them or hurts them. If I were the Patriots, I would focus on what LaDainian Tomlinson has said about them and laughed about them, and I would see this game as a referendum on both very, very good teams. I'm going to go with the Patriots. I'm going to say 25% chance.
I'm going to say 10% chance. Because the New England Patriots, we know they know how to do one thing. Zero in on an opponent. We know Bill Belichick knows how to do that. Are you kidding me?
But
whenever
I don't know how
whenever somebody's doubted
this.
Them, what have they done?
They've won.
They come off the mat and they put you
they
on
do.
The mat. I'm saying 10%. It's a puncher's chance. San Diego's
That's
talented.
All just a puncher.
But they got to be angry in New England.
Next.
What's next?
Okay, next up, the odds Jamarcus Russell sees the field this year for the Raiders.
100%. I mean, he will get in there even if Dante Culpepper is good. Because you have to see what you've signed for $31 million worth of bonuses. You know? Now, I don't know that he'll start. If Culpepper's good, I don't know that he will ever start a game. I think he'll get into games, maybe play a half or something like that. But yes, 100% that he will get in.
100% is the only answer. McCown, hot to trot. It had a good week, by the way, I thought. Pretty good first week, threw for like 290 yards or something like that.
Well, they benched him.
But still, I'm just saying, he's not some bum.
He's a young, capable guy.
Culpepper, who you mentioned just
I think he's very good.
Andrew Walter. Not exactly the next Hall of Fame quarterback in that trio unless Culpepper's healthy and is regenerated completely.
But the kid plays. But he may not
100%.
Start. 100%.
I'm giving it 100% that he'll start a game before the year.
See, they're a five-win team. Next.
All right, next up, college. It's the chances the Nebraska Cornhuskers upset the number one ranked USC Trojans.
Thank you, Keith. I think what helps them is the fact that the game is at Nebraska. Because USC has only lost six games since 2002.
60-6.
And all of those have been on the road.
60-6.
Nebraska is an improving team, a pretty good team. They beat Wake already this year, which was a very good team last year. But USC is the best team. If they're going to lose, I think it will be in the Pac-10 somewhere. I don't think they lose
this
one.
What's your percentage?
15%.
2%. Bill Callahan knows what he's doing. He's got them coming back. Nebraska's on the right path back.
But
they're
going to
get derailed this week and then get back on the path. USC is the best team in college football.
I believe
it's popular now to say LSU is as good as USC.
No, they're not.
SC, 2% chance for
next.
So 2%.
2% like milk.
Next, the chances Tiger doesn't win the FedEx Cup.
Okay, doesn't win. There are 30 guys in the field. Tiger is the best. Phil is the second best. Rory Sabatini, the sentimental favorite. Tiger has
who's expressing that sentiment?
I am. Tiger has never won at Eastlake. Phil has once. You know who we beat by two in the finals?
Who?
Tiger. So I think that helps Phil a lot. There's a chance Tiger doesn't win.
Doesn't win.
Tiger doesn't win.
40%.
You're wrong. It's 0% that Tiger's not going to win. You know why? Because Tiger had to hear all that junk at the beginning from moronic-sounding people like your boy, the sentimental favorite, Sabatini. And he had to hear this junk. Now, he will come in after missing the first one, after spotting Phil a victory,
so you think Phil,
and still
you think
win.
He rolls over Phil.
Let us say rolls. Okay. He's going to win. Zero. Zero.
Recap.
Did I make myself plain?
I got your recap right here. This is a very interesting. It's 2%. It's like milk, right, Tony?
I believe milk.
Okay, 2% like milk. What I have here, interestingly enough, is a tie ball game situation.
Except.
So we go up here, and what do we have here? -1 point for running his mouth.
The judge's card.
And still champion.
The judge's card.
Thank you so much for that. That's nonsense. This game is 100% over. Let's take a break. When we come back, duck fight, baby. Duck fight.
Looks like a duck beatdown. The duck is not actually being fought.
Look at that duck.
What's the other mascot doing? If you're that mascot's father...
Welcome back to the PTI program. Okay, Wilbon, how badly does Greg Oden's injury hurt the NBA?
Well, Tony, just the reaction to it would lead anyone to believe that it hurts first the Portland Trailblazers and then the National Basketball Association. There's big buzz for months leading up to the draft about Oden being number one or whether he was going to be number two. You and I always thought he was going to be number one. Portland gets him. Portland feels very good. Kevin Pritchard makes a lot of deals. You think Portland's a team on the rise. That rise is going to have to wait at least for a little while.
Here's why I think it hurts the league. The league was going to shift its geographical center to some degree. The shift had come from the east to the west to begin with, but now it was going to go to the Pacific Northwest because people were excited about the two draft picks in the Pacific Northwest, Greg Oden and Kevin Durant. I mean, Kevin Durant had a better season than Greg Oden. And people
not to me, because Greg Oden's team got to the Final Four. Kevin Durant
did not. I think Durant was a fabulously exciting individual player.
Yes.
And that Greg Oden had the potential maybe down the road to be Bill Russell. And I think the league was going to sell this and market them and put them on the map.
But not immediately. Because neither one of those teams is going to make the playoffs, even with
Oden. I understand they won't make the playoffs, yeah. but I think that's how you build something for the future.
Sure.
Now, it may shift not necessarily all the way back to the east, though Boston and Miami are going to get more prominence now.
Miami hadn't done anything this offseason, but we're going a little far here. It wasn't going to shift northwest because we don't know if Seattle's going to play there for more than a season or two because they may have to move that thing to Oklahoma.
How many TV games were they going to get? I'll bet a bunch.
A lot of late-night games, and they should.
You know,
they should get late-night games, and I'm going to still want to watch
Sunday
Portland because they got a lot of young players. But Tony,
so it hurts.
You know what, Tony, though? When LeBron James came into the league, he helped Cleveland immensely. He didn't impact the league right away.
He's impacted the league in the last 2 years.
Now, yes.
1 minute left. We go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Tiger will take 2.5 months off after the President's Cup to spend time with his family. Okay by you?
It's more than okay with me. It should be okay with everybody. It should be what he does. He's earned it. LeBron James had LASIK surgery. Was that a risky move?
Not for me.
Not for me either.
Jake
Plummer
married a former Broncos cheerleader. You're happy for him, aren't you?
Why wouldn't I be happy for Jake? That's why he retired. Spend more time with his cheerleader wife. David Beckham is expected to be in the booth tonight for Galaxy versus Chivas USA. You excited for that?
I would be more excited if he brought his wife with him. Does this mean Tommy Smith goes? Just throw him out of the booth?
You got a problem? You hating on Tommy?
I like Tommy. The Nets will reportedly make an offer to Allen Houston. You got to be surprised at that.
I mean, it'll be for the veteran minimum. We'll try to make team. Coming back from microfracture surgery, by the way. Twins GM Terry Ryan is stepping down. Big deal?
Yeah. The Twins get more out of their scouting and more out of less. Them in Oakland.
They have
than
to.
Anybody
they
get.
Don't have $200 million to spend.
They've been good for a while.
They
last one, West Virginia and Maryland tonight. Who you got?
Maryland not ranked. West Virginia ranked number 4. I know the game's at Maryland, but I got to go with West Virginia.
Going against Ralph Region in the turf.
Sorry.
Out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Sorry, Big Ralph. I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can catch PTI anytime at ESPN360.com.
PTI.
Bristol.
If you like this edition of PTI, you may also like Around the Horn. All ESPN podcasts are free to download at the iTunes Music Store and on PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
PTI. Monday, St. Mary's School Uniform. Tuesday, St. Mary's School Uniform. Wednesday, St. Mary's School Uniform. Thursday, St. Mary's School Uniform. Friday, blue and red number 12. He's cute.
No matter where you are or what you're doing, every Friday this season is Dick's Sporting Goods Fan Friday. So wear your team out. Authentic Reebok licensed NFL apparel and gear available at Dick's Sporting Goods. Every season starts at Dick's.